May I speak in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to conduct our business through Jesus, just as heaven does. Now imagine writing a letter to a celebrity and they showed up at your door to reply to you. How shocked and amazed would you be? Or imagine writing a letter to the president or the prime minister, or even better, the king or queen, and they were praising you at their next press conference. How honoured would you feel? Well, this actually, there is an event of this kind of happening. Lyndon B. Johnson, the 36th president of the United States, was known for his compassion towards the poor. And I think he started a whole campaign against it as well to help people in it, poverty. And then in 1965, Johnson received a letter from a poor family in Kentucky. And this moved him deeply. The family had written to him about how they were struggling to make ends meet and had no money to buy shoes for their children. Johnson was so touched by the letter that he decided to pay them an unannounced visit. On April 24th, 1965, he visited this home of a person called Tom Fletcher, father of 8 children who had written this letter to him. And the president spent about an hour with the family, talking to them about their struggles and their hopes for the future. And then he also gave them some gifts, including a pair of shoes for each child. Now imagine writing a letter that was answered with a personal visit like that from whoever. If we can even imagine such a thing happening to us, that same kind of feeling happened to Nathaniel, but on a level far beyond what we could hope or even fear. Nathaniel was sat under a tree firing off prayers to God before Philip had called him and told him God is here. Nathaniel was sat under a tree praying to God, but then God personally showed up. And what was perhaps even more amazing about that moment is that God knew Nathaniel already. This amazes Nathaniel because he asks, how do you know me? And the how of it all is the most incredible thing. When Nathaniel was praying, Jesus was listening. Jesus was the very God Nathaniel was talking to. So Nathaniel says that without any kind of prompt or invitation. He recognizes this and says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the divine King of Israel. And again, in this series, those are two other titles which we're not going to cover, but that's how many titles and names of Jesus are in this chapter. But the point is, Nathaniel is stunned to hear that Jesus can hear his prayers. Jesus was the one connecting him to heaven in his quiet time, his prayer time. However, Jesus goes on and tells Nathaniel that he would come to see much more of Jesus than that. Jesus is not just connecting Nathaniel to heaven, but Jesus connects everybody and everything in heaven. Even all the angels need Jesus in order to bridge between heaven and earth. They go through him. All the business between heaven and earth is done through Jesus, not just Nathaniel's. Every one of us needs Jesus if we are going to do business with God. Now, Nathaniel realized that Jesus could hear his own prayers, but he hadn't yet seen that Jesus was the one who held the entire cosmos together, the one angels have to wait and depend on. He isn't just in charge of our personal situation, but he's actually in charge of everything. We need to conduct our business through Jesus just as heaven does. Now, when Jesus, at the end of that chapter, spoke about angels ascending and descending on him, Jesus is referring back to a special dream from 1500 years before, when Jacob saw the Lord Jesus as the ladder or stairway to heaven. And we might know that title, Jacob's Ladder. There's a flower on it, and there's kids' toys as well. I remember all that. Jacob's ladder. Jacob saw all the angels coming and going through this special ladder or stairway that the Lord had provided, as if the Lord were himself holding a ladder that connected heaven and earth where Jacob was. Because Jacob always assumed that he could sort his own life out. The name Jacob means like a kind of schemer or twister or even wrestler, because he always assumed that he could scheme and wrestle his way out of all the problems of life. We see that time and time again in his own story. If you keep reading, you'll see he keeps on making these mistakes. First, and that happens actually just before this event, he schemed and negotiated when his brother was very hungry to steal his brother's inheritance rights off of him. Then he schemed and deceived his own father in order to steal the birthright of blessing. So he stole technically two things from his brother, two quite important things. He thought later in life after this event that he could scheme and plan to change the breeding patterns of animals when he worked for his uncle Laban. Again, mad story, but read it. Over and over again, Jacob thought that he had to scheme his way to blessing. He thought he had to keep on negotiating. Jacob hated to depend on anyone, including the Lord himself. So Jacob was always trying to negotiate deals and schemes, even with the Lord, even the way he dealt with Jesus. He said that, you'll notice in that reading, if the Lord would do loads of things for Jacob, then Jacob would worship him as his God. Even in that reading, it's as if Jacob were negotiating a business deal with God. I'll do this if you do this. Jacob said, if you watch and hear me, you will be my God. Now, this is such a strange thing to say to the Lord, who he's just seen is in charge of everything. Jacob had dreamed a dream in which he saw the Lord Jesus as the ladder between heaven and earth. He saw that all the business between heaven and earth is done through Jesus. And yet, Jacob was still trying to manage his own life, still trying to keep control of his own business, still trying to manage through his own schemes and cleverness. Jacob had just seen Jesus running the entire universe. He had got to peek into the control room of creation and saw that it was Jesus running everything. And yet he was still trying to cling to his own life. Jacob felt that he had to negotiate to manage his own life in the business of heaven. So notice that he's trying to get blessing out of heaven by, again, a deal. Even though he's just seen it's actually through Jesus and really a trust in him. A gift. Jacob sees Jesus in charge of everything, but this is what his lesson was. Jacob's lesson was this. He knew Jesus was in control of everything else, but what he needed to know was how Jesus was involved in his own personal life. That was his big lesson. His big life lesson, and we'll see later, was to start conducting his life through Jesus. That happened later in Genesis. Really, he learns the hard way to submit to Jesus rather than trying and failing to be his own master. The dream of Jacob's ladder was Jesus trying to teach Jacob that lesson. He was showing Jacob that nothing in heaven happens without Jesus say so. And it had to be the same way with Jacob. All the angels rely on Jesus, so you need to Jacob. You need to rely on me as they do. Jacob kind of doesn't really, though. Jacob had to trust Jesus to handle not just the really big stuff, but the up-close and personal stuff of his own individual life. Now, later in Jacob's story, Jacob literally was wrestling with Jesus all night. That happens a few chapters later if you read. If you know the story, it's fantastic. But Jacob literally is wrestling with Jesus all through the night, and he would not surrender to the divine wrestler. In the end, as the dawn was breaking, Jesus had to show Jacob just how weak and powerless he really was. So he injured Jacob's hip. Jesus kind of cheats, but basically pops out his hip and shows Jacob, you're really powerless. You're really weak. And so, for the rest of Jacob's life, he had to walk with a limp, needing a walking stick. And that's such an important lesson. Jacob had to see his own weakness and need before he could truly trust in the Lord God. He couldn't now just rely on himself. He couldn't lean on himself. He had to lean on a stick. We need to conduct our business through Jesus, just as heaven does. And that's what Jacob had to learn. Jacob could see how Jesus was ultimately in control, but Jacob struggled to see how to trust the Lord with his own individual life. But as Jacob was dying, and St. Paul makes this point in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, he makes this point that as Jacob was dying, and as he was blessing his sons and grandsons and blessing all his children, he did it all the while by worshipping God and leaning on his staff, his walking stick. And in Hebrews, he makes that point to say that was Jacob finally trusting in Jesus, having faith. That was Jacob finally not leaning on himself, but leaning on Jesus. Jacob, in the end, did come to trust Jesus for himself as an individual, not just trusting reality too. We need to conduct our business through Jesus just as heaven does. Now, we zip forward 1,500 years to Nathanael. And when we come to see Nathanael, it's also interesting. We see him worshipping God on his own, leaning against a tree. So already there's a parallel, and Jesus brings out more parallels. Nathanael was the opposite of Jacob. Jacob could see the big picture, but he struggled to apply that to his own life, his own private life. But Nathanael was spending his private life praying to Jesus, and he could see how Jesus was listening to his own prayers. But Nathanael learned the other way around. He knew Jesus could control his personal life, but he then learned Jesus actually controls everything. He manages the business of everybody's prayer life, including heaven's. Nathanael was conducting his business through Jesus, but now he was able to meet him in person and get a bigger vision of who he is. Also notice that Jesus says that Nathanael is a faithful Israelite in whom there is no deceit or scheming. John 1 verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus is contrasting straightforward, honest Nathanael with scheming, deceitful Jacob. Nathanael did not trust in his own ability at all. He was personally trusting the Lord Jesus to connect him to heaven, but he needed to have this vision of Jesus expanded to learn more about Jesus. Nathanael needed to see how all the business through between heaven and earth is done through Jesus, not just that little prayer life, that private life. He learned, he already was conducting his business through Jesus, but he learned all of heaven does too. We need to conduct our business through Jesus just as heaven does. And we learned that at the beginning as well. Revelation is full of heaven saying, "We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus." Jacob had to learn the hard way that he was not really in control. He was not the best in charge of his own life because he kept messing it up. So Jesus had to first prove to Jacob just how wrong he was. First had to humble him the hard way. But Nathanael knew he was in the wrong. Nathanael knew that he could not scheme his way into heaven or wrestle his prayers to the ears of God. And that's why he was so glad to meet Jesus. The one he was asking for help showed up. The God he was praying to replied in person. All heaven goes through Jesus to get anything done right. And the big thing is, oh yeah, one little thing as well. The reason I actually think as well, Nathanael, because Jesus says there's no deceit in him, I also think he was confessing his prayers. He was confessing. So as he was pouring out his heart and all his wrong, Then Jesus shows up and goes, good, you were honest with me. You were honest. That's the right thing to do. Not like Jacob. He learned the very end. But I do think that Nathaniel, when he was praying, was just saying, I am wrong. All the wrong he's done. And laying it on Jesus. And then Jesus shows up. Now, just as we need to conduct, and just as heaven conducts its business through Jesus, the big thing is we need to make sure that that applies on earth. Because heaven is doing that. Heaven really does trust Jesus with everything. But notice in the Lord's Prayer that we prayed, Our Father, which art in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven already does trust Jesus with all its doings. They love to go to him for permission to trust him. Earth is the problem one. Earth doesn't. We know that the business of God is done in heaven, but it is through Jesus that that help and salvation and love and promise from heaven comes down into earth. We can easily get caught up in the business of earth and lose sight of the business of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Our lives are very short and fragile, and we easily become busy with our own schemes and desires, and then our life is gone, and we have no life for eternity. We keep building in the temporary. We don't build anything in the heavenly, the eternal. But Jesus is our only hope. We need to conduct our eternal business. If we want to do anything in heaven, that's also got to go through Jesus, just as heaven does. It took Jacob a long time to realize that he had to trust Jesus for his own individual life because Jacob could not give up control of his life. Jacob didn't want to trust Jesus with his life and blessing, not just his life, what he's doing now, what he's gonna get. He couldn't trust that to Jesus either. But Nathanael was better. He knew that he needed Jesus to be heard in heaven. So Nathanael was ready to discover this much bigger vision of Jesus managing all the business between heaven and earth. We aren't going to get anything out of heaven or get into heaven without going through Jesus first. We might remember the parable of the sheep and goats. There's one thing that's like at the entrance to heaven that's going to decide who gets in. It's Jesus. And it's not even what you've done, really. It's does he know you? That's what decides if you get into heaven. Simply, does Jesus know you? That's it. That's the only like qualifier to get into heaven. It's Jesus alone. So, this morning, let me ask you this question of these two characters. Are you more like Jacob or Nathanael? Are you still trying to get through your own schemes and desires? Do you still think you can handle the business of life? Do you still think you can scheme your way into blessings to get good stuff? If so, stop. The Lord brings weakness and suffering to show you how weak and fragile you really are. That's what he had to do to Jacob, and he's done to so many characters in the Bible. If you really are not going to trust him with your life, you'll have to learn the hard way. There is a much easier way, though. Learn the lesson of humility and trust that Jacob took decades to learn, but Nathanael had it off the bat. Are you more like him? Are you aware of your own weakness? And you are trusting the Lord Jesus with your own life, but you want to step into this much bigger vision of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is so much more than our individual lives. He is the divine emperor over the heavens and the earth. He lifts up to a much bigger vision of life, of hope, of life beyond death, of salvation, righteousness, holiness, purity. He makes everything, gives everything this new meaning. He raises everything up to a whole new level. So, as we want to join him in that, the final thing he wants to do is lift you up, as he wants to draw you into this big vision, is to help you serve others in his church family. That's this big vision he wants to draw you into. So, to God be ascribed all the honour, all the glory, all the praise, now and forever. Amen.